Good morning and welcome here. Wow, everyone is glad to see each other. That's wonderful. A really big welcome to everyone who's made it out for church today. What a beautiful day and what a privilege to gather together as the family of God. It is a day that we can easily say, sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Psalm 96, 2-4. I'd like us to bow in prayer. As we gather, Lord, we thank you for the fellowship of our church family. We ask you that you will bring us, strengthen us, restore us, inspire us with your love. We especially ask this for those who are battling illness, and may you bring love and peace to those living in care homes and those who are spending time in hospitals. We thank you for the gifts we are about to share. May they help further your kingdom. We have come to worship and bless you. In the Lord's name, amen. We do have a few announcements. Speaking of those who have been spending time in hospital, Mary Clausen will be moving to the Pilot Mound care home on Tuesday. So please, as that transition is taking place for her as well as the family, let us really take them to a heart and bring them, lift them up in prayer. We are spending today in a, what we call a service of praise, and we want to take the time to share different aspects of blessing the Lord. At this time, I'd like to ask Kirsten to come up for the offertory.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a quick announcement. For young adults this week, we're planning to meet in Winnipeg on Thursday evening. The details will be forthcoming.
To bless the Lord means to praise Him, exalt Him, worship Him. The Psalms are filled with blessings upon God for His holiness, His dominion over all of this, His honor and majesty. We offer Him our praise and blessings because He deserves them, unlike God's blessing upon us, which are holy, undeserved, and by His mercy and grace. Our blessing God is done out of an understanding that He is the true, praiseworthy Creator and our Heavenly Father. God is glorified when we bless and praise and acknowledge Him. The acknowledgement comes in the form of praise, adoration, thanksgiving, and love. That is what we were originally created for. However, no man can bless God in this way unless he is right with God, for we read in Proverbs 28, verse 9, if anyone turns a deaf ear to the law, even his prayers are detestable. It is only once we have been truly blessed by God in the heavenly realms that we can bless God in return, in a manner that pleases Him. The rest of the service will follow unannounced.
Good morning. Please stand as we sing together that beautiful chorus, 10,000 Reasons, or Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. Worship your holy name. Lord, I'll worship your holy name. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is thy life and salvation. Praise to the Lord who wore all things so wondrously painted, shelters they under his rings, yea, so gently sustained. Thank you. You may be seated.
My text is out of Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you, and I will greatly increase your numbers." The two words that I'd like you to keep in mind. Actually, it's one word, but God Almighty. This request to do the meditation came with a prepared outline, and that was really great. It saved me a lot of looking around and contemplating on what to exactly emphasize. The first, it consists of several statements or concepts, and then two questions to end out. To me, the first statement that they gave me, that was listed there, was reason enough to, as the call of worship says, to praise God, for great is the Lord and most worthy to be praised. And that statement was simply, you are part of something bigger. Now, recently, two nieces and a nephew claimed to be atheists. That means that they do not believe in an almighty God. Quite frankly, I think atheists are not very smart. I talked to a native brethren one time, and he told me his treaty number was 666, and he knew the biblical implications of that. That's quite something. He said to me, "I've never been a Christian. I don't know if I ever will be one, but anybody who says there is no God is just plain stupid." Actually, if you go to the Bible, it says the same thing in Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool says in his heart that there is no God. Now, if you realize that you're part of something bigger, then point number two comes in there. Grasp your place in this massive universe. Some decades ago, I was part of a youth leadership team, and we had an assignment for our youth that we gave them a piece of 8.5 by 11 paper, and they were supposed to illustrate what God meant to them. When they collected in those papers, there was one in particular, and I don't remember the other ones, but that stood out. There was this plain 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper with one dot on it. And I figured, well, obviously we hadn't gotten through to this person, but our ministerial advisor, Brother Henry Dix, said, no, this is a very intelligent girl. Let's let her explain what this means. So we asked her, and she said, you could have given me a paper twice the size or even four times the size. I still would have only put one dot in there because that dot represents me and all the rest is God. So if you think of that, and obviously it has been part of me because I still remembered it. And then if you think of that, then just allow your heart to be in awe of God, the creator of heaven and earth. Now, Bill Fair alerted me to one thing that I hadn't ever thought of before. He says, how can a hurricane suck up all this ocean salt water, and yet when it comes over land, it drops it as rainwater? Momentarily, I was tempted to bluff my way through this and talk about evaporation and condensation and desalinization and precipitation, but I knew that really I didn't have a hot clue what I was talking about. And so I just didn't know. This is one of the things that's unknowable that don't have to know. We also talked about the trillions of liters of water in the air that are out there, and I know if I threw a pail of water in the air, I'd get all of it down on me, but here it comes on in a soft, gentle rain very often. Once again, it's the creator of heaven and earth. He can do that. Then the next statement was, remind yourself of the grandeur, of God's grandeur, and think about the universe and all its bigness. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Rudy talked about this scene that he had seen at 2:30 at night of the northern lights, and he had simply stopped the tractor just to watch that. This time of year, you can see the grandeur of nature and the coloring of the leaves, and if you think of that, first in spring it was the beautiful blossoms, and now it's the colorful leaves. And by the way, yesterday I swept up over half a dozen sweepers full of God's grandeur and off my lawn, but it is beautiful. And then you talk about the vast universe. I remember Jake's video that made it so graphically clear that this little dot that was off the screen when you looked at all the other parts that come into into our whole atmosphere. In our Sunday school lesson, we read that there was, if on a good night you could see 4,500 stars, and there were another septillion, that's one with 24 zeros. To me, that kind of goes over my head. I can identify more with this person, and you've probably heard this story too, of two gentlemen who were looking out in the moonlit night and trying to comprehend the vastness of that. And one of them said, so what do you think? Which is closer, the moon or Mexico? And the other fellow said, well, obviously the moon, because I can't even see Mexico. Then when I think about this question that they posed to me, and this is the second last question, it's actually a loaded question. In what ways have you seen yourself make yourself the center of the universe? And the first response I had was just meditation. Now I'm here, you know, center of attraction, I'm the so-called center of the universe. Now, I want to do my best not to bore you and to maybe stimulate your thinking. I want to be truthful. I want to be accepted. I want to do what I was expected to do. But above all, I want to honor God. So what portion of this constitutes my real motive? I really don't know. And that's why I'm glad for Solomon's expression in his prayer of dedication when he says, for you are alone the one who knows the hearts of man. So what you think or what I think doesn't matter, only what God sees in my heart that really matters. But the conclusion of this, and I want to come back to the circle right back to our text, which is, and especially the last part of it, I am God Almighty, and then the last part, I will increase your numbers. Now there are other places where God Almighty was present. I'm convinced that God Almighty directed the stone that David threw at killed Goliath. There's no doubt that God Almighty was there when he sent the fire down to Mount Carmel. And it's true that God Almighty gave victory to Gideon and his 300 men. Now, of course, some people will say, in military terms, David was the sharpshooter, the sniper, and Goliath was more like a tank. Or they would say that it wasn't really God sending down fire, it was just a fluke lightning strike that simply disintegrated Elijah's altar and sacrifice and water. But then, of course, where did that lightning strike come from? Now, people who study military strategies might even say that Gideon just was a brilliant military tactician. But giving an infant to a couple whose combined age was 190 years old, that defies all explanation. Only God Almighty could do something like that. You see, Abram and Sarah were also part of something bigger. So what then does it really mean to be part of something bigger? Simply put, if you're a child of this Almighty God, you have a God who is so big, so strong, and so mighty that there's nothing that my God cannot do. That's what it means to be part of something bigger, and that's the reason why the Lord God Almighty is most worthy of praise.
All of creation beckons me to worship you. The grandeur of the universe echoes your glory. More than spectacular is the work of your hands. Who can match your brilliance and authority? You set boundaries for the ocean. You raise majestic mountains to touch the sky. Sunrise and sunset happens on your watch. Who is mankind that you are mindful of us? The frail sons and daughters that you would entrust us to rule over all you've made. Who are the peoples of the earth that we get to bear your image? Who am I that you even notice me? How can it be that my tears and dreams matter to you? Eternal God, beyond time and space, who am I that you lean in when I draw near? Wind and sea obey your command, yet you invite me to follow you with a whisper. Thank you for creating me and giving me life.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours.
My portion of this worship service was entitled, Savoring Your Blessings. As we celebrate this Thanksgiving season, we realize again that in spite of everything negative that's happening in this world today, and just in the last week, we shootings in Las Vegas and in Edmonton, and the hurricanes that have happened in the last little while, everything, or a lot of it, we see as negative. But in spite of that, we can still experience and see the many wonderful signs of God's presence. As Mitch said last week, he gave us that little exercise, close your eyes, what do you see? You don't see anything. Open your eyes and look around, what do you see? You see other people. You see nature. You see everything that God has done for us. As a farmer, my thoughts tend to go towards the land. Think about what it takes to produce a bushel of wheat or canola or corn, whatever it is, beans. How much of a role do we actually play in that process? Yes, we sow the seed, but what happens after that? It takes good soil, which we have not created. It takes moisture. Yes, we can irrigate, but there is still something different, something more effective when the rain falls from heaven. It takes sunshine, wind, and warm weather for the seed to produce 30, 60, 90, or even more fold. We can't take credit for any of that. My dad's Uncle Diedrich always said that we needed some wind to produce a good crop. He felt that the crop needed some adversity, some stress, in order to build the strength and resilience it needed to withstand the elements of the weather. Coincidentally, is that not true of human life as well? The ability to overcome adversity often helps us to grow in our faith in God. It reminds us that God didn't promise us an easy life. Rather, he promised he would watch over us and help us to handle whatever life throws at us. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Savor that thought. Hold on to that promise. Be thankful for a God who created us, a God who loves us, a God who cares for us, a God who suffered, one who experienced everything that we have gone through, one who is willing to sacrifice his life for us, a God who watches over us all the time. Being truly thankful helps us to keep our focus where it should be. In Philippians 4, verse 8, it says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Isn't it much easier to enjoy life, to go through each day when we think about the good things that have happened to us? It becomes much easier to deal with the realities of life when we concentrate on what God has done for us, when we remember the promises that God made to us, and when we know that we are not in control, but that God is in control of everything. These promises are comforting. They are reassuring. They give us another reason to be thankful on this Thanksgiving Day. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we ponder all the blessings you have given us, we pray that we can be truly thankful in all things. It's so much easier to be thankful when things are going well for us. Help us to be thankful when our lives don't go according to plan, or when we are faced with trouble or illness. May we not forget your great love for us. Help us to remember that if we allow you, you will guide us, you will protect us, and you will watch over us every day of our lives. I thank you, Lord God, for each person in this congregation. May each of us be filled with gratitude, with praise, and with joy, knowing that because you were willing to sacrifice your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, we have the promise of eternal life in heaven with you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand again as we sing "To God Be the Glory."
My portion is entitled "Brokenness in This World." We also want to take time this morning to acknowledge the ways in which we contribute to the brokenness in this world. It's easy to notice and complain about the mistakes of others and how they affect us. But how have I sinned? Romans 3, 23 and 24 say, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus." All. That's a really inclusive word. None of us is innocent. We all have sinned. What did that look like in your week? Or mine? Let's take a moment to think about our sins. God says in his word to us in Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21, "But when you follow your own wrong inclinations, your lives will produce these evil results: impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, spiritism, that is, encouraging the activity of demons, hatred, fighting, jealousy and anger, constant effort to get the best for myself, complaints and criticisms, the feeling that everyone else is wrong except those in our own little group, and there will be wrong doctrine. Envy, murder, drunkenness, wild parties, all that sort of thing. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. How have you contributed to the brokenness in this world? Did you this week give in to greed? Were you short-tempered or lacking compassion? Did fear overtake you, or an addiction? Were you dishonest? Did you take something that didn't belong to you? Were you jealous or selfish? Is there a moment this week where you had a sense of the right decision and you intentionally chose the opposite? In the safety of God's love, we can bring all of these things before Him. And how thankful I am that He forgives my sin and He sees my heart as clean. Again, God's word in Romans 5, verses 6 to 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, or powerless, Christ died for us, for you and for me. We didn't deserve His forgiveness at all. There was nothing we have or could have done to earn His love and His grace. It's all on Him. When we come to Him with our sins, He lovingly forgives and helps us to move on. I love Psalm 103. Let's take a look at verses 8 to 12. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He removes our sins far from us. He does not give me what I deserve, and for that I am grateful. We want to acknowledge today our sinfulness and express our deep gratitude to Him who saves us from our sin. We want to thank God this morning that His mercies are new every single morning. We want to be grateful for His love and compassion to each one of us.
I would invite you to stand again as we sing our final song this morning, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And following that, I would invite Pastor Rudy to come up for the closing prayer and benediction.
Sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've
have been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed. Like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, his word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood his mercy unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Thank you to the music committee for your planning for this morning's worship. Thank you. Let's bow to pray. Lord, we give you thanks. You as the creator of this great universe, this world that you have invited us to live. We give you thanks for your having created us. While we are imperfect, our mistakes are before us. We give you thanks for Jesus, for the promise of forgiveness of sin, and for your spirit that dwells within us. And we give you thanks for that abiding presence that goes with us each and every day, like the air we breathe, like the very breath within you are also within us. Thank you for inviting us to be part of your kingdom coming on earth. May we respond not only with thankfulness, but also with our lives and our actions, with generosity toward others. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon each one and give to each one God's peace, today and always. Amen.